Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel. As we pointed out in our previous shiur, we left off basically in the middle of a discussion, a rather long discussion, that is characterized by a series of triangles. And you can see we've numbered them, and you'll be counting up till 10 on this Omid. We're continuing a series of questions that are focused against the opinion of Rebbe Avohu that we learned last time, who claimed that when the Torah uses the expressions lo yochal, lo tochal, lo tochlu, that indicates that there is an iser hanoh regarding that item. Well, let's continue checking that out. We continue, v'harei truma, this is triangle number 6, v'harei truma, derachmona omar. Truma is the tithe that one separates from his produce and gives to Kohanim, and the Torah says, v'chol zor lo yochal kodesh. The zar is a non-Kohen, lo yochal shall not eat this, the truma, which is sanctified, utnan, and yet it says Ma'arvin Lenozir Biyan Uli Israel Petruma. An Eruv Tchumin can be made for a Nozir using wine as the food that is placed at the edge of the Tchum, and you can make an Eruv for a Yisrael using Truma. Now, we just got finished saying that a truma is something that a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, is not allowed to eat. So, according to Rebbe Avohu, you would have thought that the truma is therefore usur not only in eating, but it's prohibited in benefiting from as well. And if that's the case, how can you use food that's usur to benefit from in making an Eruv? So, we see from here, unlike Rebbe Avohu, the Gemara responds, Omar of Papa, Shiny Hossam, the case of Truma is different. The Omar Kro, Trumaschem. And you notice we've dashed underlined the suffix of the word Trumaschem. That is a word in the possessive form. And we learn from that, Shelochem Tehe. The Torah grants even non Kohanim to be considered owners and beneficiaries of the truma, so long as they don't eat it, but they are allowed to benefit from it. So that in general, where you see the expression lo yochal or lo tochal, Rabbi Avohu will tell you, that represents an iser hanoh. However, if in addition to that there is a special heter, permission to benefit from it, so then we'll say that is an exception and you are allowed to benefit. So you have a special provision in the case of Truma that you're allowed to benefit from it. We continue with the bow tie marking, and we featured this in our previous year. The bow tie marking highlights the opinion of Chizkiah. According to Chizkiah, unless the Torah says lo ye ochel, just by merely saying lo yochal or lo tochal, I understand that to mean an isur achila, a prohibition of eating, but you have a heter to benefit from it. So the question is, according to Chizkiah, I don't need a special heter, a special allowance to benefit from truma. I wouldn't have thought otherwise. So what does trumas chem, the possessive form chem, the chof mem at the end of that word, what does that indicate? So the idoch is, according to Chizkiah, trumas chem dechol Yisrael komar. The word is in the plural form, indicating the truma of the Jewish people. In other words, the collective of the Jewish people tithe their produce, separating the truma tithe. So trumaschem, your truma, you are addressing, and the Torah is addressing the public of Israel, and says trumaschem, your truma. So as far as Chizkiya is concerned, the Pasuk isn't trying to tell me a special allowance. I don't need that. I wouldn't have thought so otherwise. Veharei Nazir, we continue with question number 7. We look at the Nazir. Derachmon Omar Mechartzanim Ve'adzag Lo Yochel. The Nazir is prohibited from eating all kinds of grape products, from seeds to grape skins. Lo Yochel. He's not allowed to eat grape products. Utnan. And yet the source says, we just saw this before, Ma'arvin Le Nazir B'yayin. Now, according to Rabbi Avoh, when you see Lo Yochel, and you notice how we dashed underline that, when you see that expression, that would generally say prohibited to benefit from. And yet we are teaching here that one is allowed to benefit from it insofar as the an Eruv is allowed to be made for him. An Eruv, now we didn't mention this a moment ago, but we're assuming that we're familiar with an Eruv. An Eruv Tchumen is the placement of food at an extended point beyond your community, whereby that extends the distance you're allowed to walk on Shabbos in that particular direction outside your community and your ordinary 2,000 amo boundaries. We're not going to elaborate on the Tum. Our hope is that you've already learned Maseches Eruvin and would appreciate that all the more. But for our purposes, it has to do with extending your Shabbos boundaries. And you're allowed to use wine for the Nazir. But the Pasuk, did the Pasuk not say Lo Yochel, that he's not allowed to eat from it? And according to Rabbi Avoh, that really would mean he's not allowed to benefit from it? So we have a kasha on Rabbi Avohu. Omar Marzutra. Marzutra is the first of a couple of answers, and he says, Shaini Hosam, the case of the Nazir is different. The Omar Kro, Nizro. That's a word from the Pasuk, and Shelo Yehe, which means that it is his possession. In other words, true, he can't eat from the grape products, including wine, but it is his to benefit from. So there's a special Torah provision allowing a heter hanal, the permission to benefit, even though there is an isur achila. Number 2, Rav Ashi Omar, kodosh ye gadel pera se'a roishoi. Gidulo kodosh ve'ein dovar acher kodosh. We're darshaning the posuk where it says gadel pera se'a roisho, the growth of his hair is that which is prohibited to benefit from, but no other aspect of the Nazirus represents a prohibition of benefit. So he is allowed to benefit from the wine. As you are all familiar, a Nazir is someone that not only is prohibited in benefiting from wine, but he must also allow his hair to grow. The Gemara asks, Midi v'ein dover acher ksiv, the attempt we just made is to say that the Pasuk is saying that only his hair is kodesh, is sanctified, is holy, is forbidden to benefit from, but not anything else. But does it say and not anything else? It doesn't spell that out in the Pasuk. Therefore, it could be that other aspects of Nazirus are forbidden, including the wine. Just like we thought initially. So how is it that we can be ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin? Ela machvarta kida marzutra. Rather, it appears more likely, machvarta means cleaner, better approach, like that of marzutra, that the Pasuk says nizro, and we darshan that to mean that the nazirus is his to benefit from. V'hare chodosh. Now, a word about this particular mitzvah, that is, during every year, there's a planting season where one will plant, in this case, grains. The new year's grains become, we'll say, ready for harvest around Pesach time. And at that time, we say that the new grains are forbidden until the 16th of Nisan, at which point they harvest some barley and offer it as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, and that allows the new grains of that year's crops to be consumed by the masses. In fact, the Torah mentions a prohibition of engaging in harvesting until you harvest the Omer, and that is done on the 16th of Nisan. So now that we've said a word or two about Chodosh, we read the Gemara. Vahare Chodosh, that's a reference to the new grains. Terachmona Omar, Lechem Vekoli Vekarmel Lo Sochlu Ad Etzim Hayom Hazeh. Now we've dashed underline Lo Sochlu, that until the 16th of Nisan, when the Korban Oimer is offered, you're not allowed to eat of the new grains, Utnan. And yet it says, Kotzer l'shacha sumachil l'behemo. You're allowed to harvest the shachas is a reference to grains before they develop into fully developed plants. Rashi says, Mutur l'kotzer l'shachas k'shu esev. You're harvesting the grains when they are they're basically shortly after sprouting, and they serve as animal feed. So you are benefiting from the new grains, and not only that, but you're going through an act of harvesting them before the Omer, and you're benefiting from it. You're giving it to your animals to eat from. But did the Torah not say lo sochlu? And according to Rabbi Avo, that would mean you're not allowed to benefit from them. So how do we explain that? Omar Rav Shmaya, Shiny Hossam, that is different. The case of Chodesh is different. Yomar Kro, Kitzir Chem. And again, you see the emphasis on the possessive element of the word. And we dashed, underlined the suffix. Kitzir Chem means Kitzir Chem, Shelochem Yehei. That your harvest is yours to benefit from. So there may be an Isur of eating, but there is a heter, an allowance to benefit from it. V'idach, this is again a reference to Chizkiah that said that the expression lo tochlu in the pasuk by the Chodesh wouldn't have signaled any prohibition other than actual eating anyway. So what does he need the word kitzir chem for in the pasuk? So the Gemara explains kitzir chem the chol Yisrael mashma. Like we saw before, in the case of truma, trumas chem, the Torah is addressing the Jewish people, and it says your harvest is what's referred to in this pasuk regarding the Chodosh. It's a reference to the collective Jewish people and their harvest, hence the plural expression, but it's not there to teach me anything further. And as Rashi says, v'urche dekro the mishtuye hachi, it's the common way of psukim to speak thusly, to address the Jewish people in this type of language, in this collective expression, your harvest. The Gemara continues, Vahre Shrotzim, the Rachmona Omar, regarding Shrotzim, which are, we'll say in general terms, are unkosher type creatures. Shrotzim are generally portrayed as animals with short-legged creatures. Some things like mice and other creatures, moles, etc. The Torah lists a number of different types of shrotzim, and the Torah says regarding them, sheketz hu lo ye ochel. They are prohibited for eating. Utnan, tzayde chaya v'oifos v'dogim. These are reference to trapsmen. Tzayed is a hunter or trapsman of animals. Of different kind of animals, birds and fish, shenizdamnu lahem minim tameim, that there were caught in their traps unkosher variety animals, mutarin lemochron lenochrim, you can sell them to non-Jews. So here you have, on the one hand, the Torah says regarding the shrotzim lo ye'ochel, and that, according to all opinions, would indicate an iser hanor, and yet we're allowed to sell them to Gentiles. The shkotzim, the remosim, the shrotzim that you happen to catch. So the Gemara says, "Shiny hosom diomakro." The case of the shrotzim is different because the posuk says, "Lochem." It uses that expression, and we darshan lochem shelochem yehe. It is yours to benefit from. Well, ihochi afilu lechatchilonami. If that's the case, so even as a first choice, go ahead and catch them, make it your deliberate deliberate effort to catch them. In the source we just read, what did we see? We saw that if you happen to chance upon them, in other words, you weren't focusing on them. So, but if you're saying it's shelochem, hey, it is for you to benefit from, why can't you set up traps in order to catch different kinds of shrotzim? The Gemara says, shiny hocha, the omar kro, yiyu. That word also appears in the pasuk, yiyu, and we learn from that, behav yosan, yuhu, they shall remain as they are. And what does that mean? They are shekets, they are abominable. In other words, they are an abomination to you. So that indicates to avoid trapping them as a first choice deliberate act. However, it does say lochem, which means if you happen to chance upon them, you can keep them and sell them to a Gentile. The Gemara asks, according to Chizkia, the expression we just saw, lo ye ochel, in fact, does teach a iser hanoah. So according to Chizkia, lama li lemichtav lo ye ochel umaisi lochem lemishrei, why does the Torah go about this in a rather cumbersome fashion? It teaches lo ye ochel, which means you cannot benefit from them, and umaisi lochem, and then it says lochem lemishrei, to allow benefiting from them. So you know what? Lo lichtav rachmon of lo ye ochel. Let the Torah avoid writing lo ye ochel v'lo boi lochem, and I then wouldn't need lochem to tell me that you are allowed. In other words, if you simply delete lo yeochel, I wouldn't have thought anything. I wouldn't have thought there's a prohibition to benefit. So I would understand on my own there is a permission to benefit from them, and that would render lochem unnecessary. So why didn't the Torah do it that way? Omar lo Chizkia. Chizkia responds, Taimo didi nami mehocha. Chizkia says, it's based on this posuk by the Shrotzim, where you see lo ye ochel, that I learn my point, that when it says lo ye ochel, then and only then do I know you're dealing with an iser hano. If we look in the Rashi, Taimo didi, de amino lo ye ochel, mashma hano, meho nafkali. I who hold lo ye ochel with that specific vowelization indicates an iser hanah. I learn it from this topic. The e lav high kro dichtiv lo ye ochel, the su kosav lochem lemishrei. If not for this pasuk that in which it writes lo ye ochel to tell me iser hanah, and then it writes lochem to allow hanah. Lo haviyodano the lo yochel iser hanohu. I wouldn't have known that lo yochel means iser hanoh. V'chol hanoch kroy the heter hanoh dechsivi gavi lo sochal hodar shinu chizkiyo lemilso achrina kidamrina liel shumaschem ktsiruchem v'chol Yisrael. So if not for this pasuk, says Chizkiyo, I would not have known my opinion. So it's from here that the Torah, on the one hand, says lo ye ochel, and then it tells me lochem, that you are to benefit from them. So I understand that without the specific allowance to benefit from them, lo ye ochel would have taught me in iser hanah. Therefore, if you see lo ye ochel in other contexts without a special allowance pasuk, in fact, it means iser hanah. We continue in the Gemara, number 10, V'harei chometz, the Rachmon Amar lo ye ochel chometz, the Torah says you shall not eat chometz, V'tanya, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Tomo al atzmacha, you should be amazed about yourself, Hech chometz osir bahano, kol shiva, how in the world can you even consider that chometz should be forbidden to benefit from during the 7 days of Pesach, and certainly there would be no restriction in benefiting from it after Pesach. So what do we see? On the one hand, the Torah writes, by Chometz, it writes, Lo Ye Ochel, which according to Chizkiya and Rabbi Avo would tell me Iser Hanah, and yet you have the Tana, Rabbi Yosef Glili, saying that one is allowed to benefit from it. And benefiting from chometz would include things like selling it or using it for some other non-eating purpose. The Gemara says, "Shiny Hosam." The case of chometz is different. The Omar Kro v'lo yeroeh l'cho sa'or. And in this posuk, the term l'cho appears, which we darshan shel l'cho yehei. The chometz is unto you; it's for you to derive benefit from it. V'rabbonon. Now the Rabbonon hold that chometz is osur v'hano. They are the shita that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbonon hold it's osur v'hano. What do they do with this posuk of l'cho? So they explain shel l'cho i'ataroya, aval ataroya shel achir shel gavoa. The Torah prohibits you're having your own chometz in your possession. However, the Torah does not prohibit your having the chometz of others or of heaven. In other words, sanctified food items that happen to be chometz, you can possess them, you can have them in your domain. So where do the Rabbanan learn that from? They learn that from the L'cho posuk by Se'or. The Idach, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Trei L'cho Ksivi. There are two L'cho words, and Rashi spells them out. The second line under the Gemara you can see. So there are two L'cho words, and what does that do? So number one, it tells me that there's a heter to benefit from the chometz, and number two, it tells me that the only chometz that is prohibited is your own, but that which belongs to others, to Gentiles and to Shamayim, things that were sanctified, do not cause you to be in violation of having chometz. It's not really yours. V'idach. So we continue in the Gemara. V'idach now is back to the Rabbanan, who said that the chometz is osur b'hano, but on the other hand, I have two times l'cho. So what do they say? They say chad b'nochri shekibashto v'chad b'nochri shelo kibashto. They're both referring to the Gentiles and their chometz. And according to the Rabbanan, we say, as we said a moment before, that shelcho I atara, the pasuk is warning against your seeing your own chametz. However, the chametz of these two kinds of Gentiles you would be allowed to have. One is a nochri that you conquered, shekibashto, and the other is a nochri shelo kibashto. But the main thing is that if you have their chometz in your possession, and as long as you didn't take responsibility for it, that is okay. And that's what the l'cho word is used to draw this inference. The idach, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, well, what is he going to say about this? Rabbi Yossi Aglili needed one of the l'chos already to tell me that it's yours to benefit from it. And so... what about the need for two more l'chos regarding these kinds of Gentiles and their chometz? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Tloso l'cho ksivi. There are three l'cho words available to darshan. The idach, the Rabbanan, chad b'sa'or v'chad b'chometz utzrichi. The fact that there's an extra l'cho is, according to the Rabbanan, not going to be telling me that you're allowed to benefit from it, because they hold you're not allowed to benefit from it. But rather, it's telling me that whether it's sa'or or chometz. Sa'or is sourdough, that's an intense form of chometz or regular chometz. You are not allowed to have your own, but that which belongs to Gentiles you would be allowed to have in your possession, of course, as long as you don't take responsibility for it. And the Gemara ended off with the word utzrifi, and that means that if I need the Torah to tell me about sor and about chometz. And Rashi explains on the third line under the Gemara utzrifi, the ikos of sor, had the Torah written just the sourdough, and that is something that is also to have and also to benefit from. Mishum de chimutzo koshet, intense. It has intense fermentation. Avol chometz emo mutter, but standard chometz, baked bread, for example, that maybe is not forbidden to benefit from. Because of chometz, had the Torah written just chometz, mishum b'roi l'achilo, the reason that is forbidden to benefit from, because it's something that's fit for eating otherwise. Aval se'or, the lo chozi l'michle, emo lo avaleo. But sourdough, which is not something you can eat in and of itself, maybe if you have it, you won't be in violation of having chometz in your possession, because the sourdough is something that's not edible per se. Therefore, I have to spell out both of them, and that's what the rabbonon do with the extra lecha. The Gemara continues with a question. Now, you'll note that this is a very long question. We have a long question marking that goes down Omid Beis. You'll see it goes down six lines from the top of Omid Beis. The topic heading on the side reads, under the Nosei, Nisayon Lahamid Hod Rabbi Avo, an attempt to set up that which Rabbi Avo said concerning the words Lo Yochal, Lo Tochal, Lo Tochlu, Ke Machlokis Tanoim, Shecholkin Be'inyan Chelev Nevela. You see, there's an attempt to set up, that's what we call this a long question, to set up Rabbi Avo's din as a Machlokis Tanoim. That when you see the expression Lo Tochal, does that yes or no mean an Isser Hano? And as we said, it's a question. The question is, should we say that he is a Machlokis Tanoim? He being a reference to Rabbi Avo. So at the end of this long question, the Gemara in effect will deflect the suggestion with what we use in our markings, we call it a long rejection. In other words, we're going to reject the suggestion that his din is a machlokes tanoim. And if you skip till Omid Beis, you'll see the encircled Dalid about six lines from the top, where the Gemara at that point will say that loi dekuli alma lo sochlu mashma ben isra achila ben isra no. In other words, at that point the Gemara will say, don't set up Rabbi Avo as a machlokes tanoim, but everyone is in agreement with what Rabbi Avo said. That's all by way of structure and background. Now let us take a look at the Gemara itself. Leimo ketanoi. Should we say that the din of Rabbi Avo, that lo sochal represents an iser hano, even though that's not the literal translation, should we say that this theory is a machlokes tanoim? That's leimo ketanoi. And as those of you who have been learning with Gemara markings long enough, you'll know that it's not in the best interest of an Amora to be the subject of a machlokes tanoim. And for an Amora, it's the best situation where all tanoim would agree with what he is saying. So this is the basis of why we're raising this as a question. Should we say that Rabbi Avo's din is a non-unanimous accepted point? The source says, and we should point out that the source is talking about the chelev. The chelev are sometimes translated as forbidden fats of an animal. And in this case, we're going to be speaking about the forbidden fats of an animal that was slaughtered as a sacrifice. It says, Ye'oseh l'chol melacha. We've actually included the posuk on the side. If you notice, we've written Vayikra Zayin posuk chof dalid, and we've written the text, V'chelev nevela, V'chelev trefa, Ye'oseh l'chol melacha, V'yachol lo sochluvu. So the posuk is saying that you can use it for whatever you want, just don't eat it. So the Gemara continues. And the source, Yosel L'chol Melacha, Ma Talmud Lomar L'chol Melacha. What does the Torah gain by saying you can use it for whatever? You can use the forbidden fats, the chelev, for whatever. Why does the Torah have to tell me that? Shiachol, I would have thought otherwise, that L'mleches Gavoa Yehi Mutter, L'mleches Hedyo Yehi Oser. That the use of the fats are appropriate if you're going to use them for a Meleches Gavoa, for something that has to do with the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Lemleches Hedyot, for some personal needs, Usser. You're not allowed to use the fats from the animal sacrificed. So, reading that again in the Gemara, that sheyachol imlechas vehe mutil mechas hedyut ye'osir, I might have thought that only for needs of a sanctified nature, you can use the chilev, but the melechas hedyut for common needs, yehe osir, it would be forbidden. That's what I would have thought. Talmud Lomar, L'chol Melacha, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Elias. So the Torah goes out of its way to say that you can use the fats, the chalef of the korbanos, L'chol Melacha, for any purpose. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Haglili, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Sheyachol, L'mleches Hedyo Yehei Tohar, L'mleches Gevoya Yehei Tameh. Should one think, asks Rabbi Akiva, that chilev is appropriate for meleches hedyot, that for meleches hedyot it would be considered tahor, but if you're going to use the chilev for a divine or sanctified purpose, then yehe tame. This is the question. Should that be that for that it will say a distinction is made between meleches hedyot and meleches gavoya with regard to its consideration as being tahor versus tamei, Talmud lomar lechol melacha. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk that says yaseh lechol melacha means that the chiliv is considered tahor even for meleches gavoa, meleches shemayim. Rabbi Yosi Haglili, in looking at the machlokis we just had between Rabbi Yosef Glil and Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara now, let's say, refines their opinions, focuses in on their opinions, and says Rabbi Yosef Glil, "Letumah letaro lo itzurich kra," to make a distinction, or to, let's say, to forestall a distinction between tumah and taro, you don't need a pasuk for that. Kitzurich kra, what I need the pasuk for of Ye'oseh L'chol Melacha, I need that L'isur U'leheter, meaning to tell me that which I might have otherwise thought is Oser, that it in fact is Mutter. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, I don't need to use the Pasuk to tell me that the Chalev will be considered Tohor for whatever. For Rabbi Akiva, Isser v'heter lo tzorach kra. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, I wouldn't have thought to asser the use of the chalev in the first place. Kitzur kra, l'tuma u'letara. Now, if we look in the Rashi to give more background to this, ye'oseh l'melocha have motzi l'michtav gabi chalev nevela. It could have said Ye'aseh l'melacha instead of saying Kol melacha. And in this pasuk that deals with the chilev of a nevela, the Rashi continues Shiachol he lo have kosav l'chol, had the pasuk not added that word l'chol, have amino l'meleches gavoye muter im tzorach l'mshoach meno oros l'meleches berek Habayisei Mutter, that for divine purposes, for example, for the smearing of skins that are used for the Beis HaMikdash, so the Chelev Nevela would be allowed. Daha Mishteri Chelev Bachila Legabi Govoa Lemizbech. There's precedent for a lenient view, leniency towards Chelev in the context of Govoa, in the context of that which is sanctified. And how is that? Because the chalev part of a sacrifice is that which is offered, so that it's in your mind's eye, it's as if kavoah is eating, is consuming the chalev nevela. So that's what I would have thought, that since there's precedent for allowing the consumption of chalev in the context of it being offered on the altar, so for meleches gavoa, one would be allowed to use chalev. Avol lemeleches hedyot, prefer the use on the part of a commoner, yehei osur, sharei nemar bo lo sochlu. that you are not allowed to benefit from it. Ve'iser hanoa b'mashma. So therefore, Talmud Lomar lechol melacha. Therefore, I need the word kol to say that it, the chelev is mutter even lemeleches hedyo. So that was the distinction that Rabbi Yossi Haglili made, that without lekom locha, I would have thought there's a use restriction, but with the expression lekom locha, I see that I'm not restricted. I can, not just for gavor purposes, but for hedyo purposes as well. You're allowed to use the chelev. We continue in the Rashi, Rabbi Kiva Omer, v'chulei, klomar, lo hutzruch hakosuv lahatir. According to Rabbi Akiva, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that it is mutter. Why? Delo havi saka dat tuchlisa. I wouldn't have thought that it should be prohibited. Velo bo elo letaharo michlal tumas basar. The pasuk is therefore coming to tell me that the chelev, even though it comes from a nevela, the chelev is nevertheless not tome like the meat. Velo mar she'ein chelev b'chlal nevela. In a certain legal manner of speaking, the chelev, even though it comes from an animal that dropped dead, it's not a shechted animal, it's a nevela. Nevertheless, the chelev is not considered part of the nevela. It's not considered in the category including nevela. And as opposed to a nevela, which is metame, so the chelev will not be metame. If he ain't no choshesh letuma, el mutu l'shtamish taros ba'or hamashuach b'chelev nevela. As Rashi says, one is allowed to use the chelev as a fat to oil the leathers of the animal. Ve'im lo riba l'chol melacha. Had the Torah not said l'chol melacha, Yisomer l'mleches hedyo l'shtamish bo chulin yei tohor, avol mleches kavo l'shtamish kochim yei tomei. I would have thought that the chelev in the context of common use would be considered tomei. Let's retract that. The chelev in the context of personal use will be considered tahor, but with regard to sanctified items, using the chelev as an oil for sanctified items, I would have thought that maybe the chelev of the nevela will take on the din of tuma, the iser of tuma, and hence you wouldn't be allowed to use it. So that's what I need the pasuk to, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, to say that not so, and it's not considered tome with regard to govoa. So the Gemara now continues at the top of Omid Beis, my lav v'hol komifuzi, and analyzing the machlokas Rabbi Yossi Glili and Rabbi Akiva, it would appear that the issue of lo tochlu being the sign of a machlokas in a machlokas, whether that represents an iser hanoa or not, is the point of difference between Rabbi Yossi Glili and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara spells this out. My lav b'hol komifli, the Rabbi Yossi Glili sofar lo sochlu mashma, the word or the expression lo sochlu on its own implies bein iser achilo bein iser hanoa. The chiasa kro, when the pasuk of lechol malacha comes along, the chiasa kro lemishrei lenevela behano hudasa. When it comes to allow the use of the nevela, the use of the chelev of the nevela, it's coming to allow it to be used for hano, for beneficial purposes. So according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, if you had just the word lo sochlu, what would you have thought? You would have, in fact, thought that there's an iser hana. Rabbi Akiva savar iser achila mashma iser hana lo mashma. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that the lo sochlu expression implies an iser hana, but it does not imply it implies an iser achila, a prohibition of eating, but not a prohibition to benefit from it. So that Rabbi Akiva would be the other daya of Tanoim that's actually not like Rabbi Avoh, whereas Rabbi Yossi Glili would be like Rabbi Avoh. So according to Rabbi Kiva, that the lo sochlu expression is not mashma and iser hano in the first place, v'chiosa kro, the posuk of lechol melacha by the chelev is coming to tell me l'tuma v'tara. as we learned in the Rashi before, that it's considered the chelev, even though it's coming from an avela, the chelev is considered tor, even with regard to meleches shamayim. So at this point in the Gemara, we have come to the end of the long question. The question had been, shall we say that the machlokis, the din of Rabbi Avo is a machlokis, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says, loy. This is now a long rejection. The kuli amo lo sochlu mash bein Yisrachilo bein Yisrahano. Everyone will agree, namely Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili will both agree that the lo sochlu expression does imply an Isser Hana, just like Rabbi Avo said. So what's the point of difference between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? V'hocho v'ho komiflegi. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is savar, kishehutra nevela, hi hutra, chelba v'gida lo hutru. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that when the Torah allows you to benefit from the nevela, we saw this in our previous year where the Torah says you can sell it to a Gentile, so the Torah is allowing, along with the nevela, the chelev and the gid as well. Well, let's correct ourselves with regard to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He says, "Kashutru nevela, he hutru chelba v'gida lo hutru." The nevela meat is itself, that's allowed. However, the chelev and the gid are not allowed. V'chi itzderich kro, when the posuk says Yaseh l'chom l'cho, v'heter hano hudos, it's coming to undo what I would have thought otherwise. So, as far as Rabbi Avo is concerned, he's fine. Lo sochlu would have in fact conveyed an iser hano, just like Rabbi Avo said. The Yaseh l'chom l'cho is coming to tell me, well, the chelev of the nevela, in fact, is muter b'hano. For Rabbi Akiva Sovar, kishehutro nevela, when the Torah made a provision that you're allowed to benefit from a nevela, chelva v'gida nami hutru. Included in that heter was the chelev and the gid as well. V'chitzur kro l'tuma v'tara. And what I need the pasuk l'chom l'cha to tell me that the chelev is considered tohor, not only with regard to mundane needs, but with regard to divine needs as well. The Gemara asks, for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ashkechon Chelev de Sharia Rachmona Banha. Granted, Chelev, we see the Torah gives me permission to benefit from. We saw the Pasuk Kol Melocha. That Pasuk is written by Chelev. Gid, Neymar de Asr. After all, Rabbi Yossi Aglili made reference to the Chelev and the Gid. Maybe, though, the Torah was Matir Chelev because that's the context of the Pasuk, but the Gid Hanoshe of the animal will be in fact Asr Bahano. The Gemara answers, Nami de Asr. One approach says, yes, it is Asr Bahano, it's Asr to benefit from the Gid. From the Gid Hanoshe, Iboy Seima, Maisi Lo V'Kavachomer. There's another approach that says that we can derive the heter of the Gid through Kavachomer logic. And how does this Kavachomer work? Uma Chelev Sha'onush Kores Muter Bano, mind you, Chelev that carries with it a severe penalty of Kores. One is allowed to benefit from the Chelev. Gid She'eino Onush Kores Lo Kol Shekein. The Gid Hanoshe, let's, worst case scenario, someone eats Gid Hanoshe. He is not going to be guilty of Kores. So it's a lighter level offense. So that if we're saying the Chelev, which is a heavy duty level offense, you're allowed to benefit from Chelev, all the more so with regard to the Gid. Rabbi Shimon de Osar, according to Rabbi Shimon, who asers the Gid Hanoshe Bano, this was featured in the Gemara back on Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that the Gid is Osir Bano, well, what does he say in the face of the Kavachomer we just learned, which led to the conclusion that the Gid is Muter Behano? So Rabbi Shimon the Osar, he will tell you, Iko lemifrach. You can question this Kal v'chomer, and we can say in other words that Rabbi Shimon is allowing, is forbidding the benefit from the gid, because the Kal v'chomer that would have indicated otherwise is a weak Kal v'chomer. So what's the pircha? What's the undoing? Ma lechelev shekein huter mechlolo etzel chaya. The reason that you see a leniency with regard to chelev, we say that you're allowed to benefit from chelev, as opposed to the gid, according to Reb Shimon. Why? Because chelev, you're allowed to actually eat it in the case of the chelev of a chaya. So we see what's called huter michlolo means that chelev represents a general realm of prohibition, but there is an exception to that. So in the realm of chelev, there is an exception whereby we allow you to eat the chelev, and that's in the case of an undomesticated animal. But tomar begid shelo huter michlolo etzachash, should you say the same thing with regard to the gid hanoshe, where we don't find a heter of the gid with regard to a chaya? So if I show you above that in our original Kal v'chomer that chelev, which is carries with the penalty of kores, is mutter b'hano, the reason it's mutter b'hano is because of this phenomenon of huter michlolo etzel chaya. The gid, on the other hand, there's no heter by a chaya for eating its gid. The idach, this is a reference to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that is matir. What about the fact that the Kal v'chomer seems to be weak? So he says, v'idach b'vehemo kamrinon. We are talking about the benefit from the chelev of a behemo. In the context of a behemoth, which is a domesticated animal, so the chelev is not mutter. So that the pircha of the chelev being huter michlolo, that does not apply within the realm of behemoth. A behemoth, again, is a domesticated type animal. Its chelev is strictly forbidden to eat. So with that, we see how Rabbi Yossi undoes the pircha that was raised against the Kal v'chomer. So by Rabbi Yossi's undoing of that pircha, we're able to reinstate the Kal v'chomer. And the Kal v'chomer leads us to concluding that the gid hanoshe is mutter b'hano. Now that we've come this far in the sugya, namely, having seen Chizkiya and Rabbi Avo, that when you see the expression lo ye'ochel, or in the case of Rabbi Avo, lo sochal, lo yochal, lo tochlu, they represent an isur hano, we've raised numerous questions against these approaches, and each one has been resolved. What is the difference on a practical basis between Chizkiya and Rabbi Avo? The topic heading that we have on the side, we see the Nosei, where we've written Hagemara Mechadedes Bema Bame Bo Lidei Bitui Machloikes Shel Chizkiya Rabbi Avo. The Gemara will try to sharpen what is the point of difference between Chizkiya and Rabbi Avo. Because after all is said and done, they claimed that certain words would teach an Isser Hano, and yet we saw many cases where those words appeared, and yet the items were Mutter b'hano, because in each case we found a special Heter for each one of the items that we featured in our questions. So what is the point of difference between Chizkiya and Rabbi Avo on a practical basis? So now the Gemara. Michti, oisvinu kol hanikroi vishaninu. We've raised all of these psukim as questions on them and answered each one. Chizkiyo v'Rabbi Avo b'may pliki. What are they arguing about? If we look at the Rashi, b'may pliki, a few lines up from here, di'ein l'cho isuri hano, b'dover shenemar bo lav b'achiloso, shelo nemar bo prat lahatir. We have no example of things where there was a supposed isur hanor, when at the same time there was an undoing of that prohibition. Elohanoch shnei dvorim dichtiv behen lo yeochel, with the exception of two items where the Torah says lo yeochel, kagon shor haniskal v'chomeis pesach, the ox that needs to be stoned because of its having killed somebody, or because of its guilty of a capital offense, and chometz on Pesach, ubein lamor asurin, and whether it Rabbi Avo or you are Chizkiya, both opinions hold that shor haniskal and chometz Pesach are in fact osur b'hano. So the Gemara continues. B'chometz b'Pesach ve'aliva derabbanan. With regard to chometz on Pesach, in the opinion of the Rabbanon that hold it is osur b'hano, there's a machlokis about that. But according to the Rabbanon who hold it's osur b'hano, b'shor haniskal v'alibo de divrei hakol, with regard to the ox guilty of a capital offense, according to everybody, it's with regard to these two isurim, the chometz and the shor haniskal, that there is no heter given in the Torah. Chizkiya nofik le milo yeochel. Chizkiya learns the isur of these two items from the expression lo yeochel. Rabbi Avo nofik le minavela. Rabbi Avo learns that they are prohibited from the case of nevela. Namely, in the case of nevela, the Torah says that you are not allowed to eat it, but you are allowed to benefit from it. So the Torah there spelled out that you're allowed to benefit. So in that case, you're allowed to benefit. But in these cases, where it doesn't spell out the benefit there, it spoke about selling it to the goy or giving it to the ger. In these cases where you don't have that benefit spelled out, so they remain usur. Now there's a Rashi across from here, mi nevela, mi de itzruch krola, mishri nevela, from the fact that the Torah had to tell me that you're allowed to benefit from the nevela, vi havi ksiv lo sochal, nami havi mitzri. Had the Torah, in according to Rabbi Avo, written lo sochal by the shor haniskal, I would have as well understood it to be osur b'hano. That, of course, is Rabbi Avo l'shitoso. That makes no distinction between lo sochal, lo yochal, lo sochlu, etc. Let's continue in the Gemara. Michti, looking into this issue, though, bein lamor, ubein lamor, asurin b'hano. Whether you're Chizkiya or you're Rabbi Avo, chometz b'pesach, and Shor haniskal are osur b'hano, mai binayu. What is the practical difference between them? The question just before this was b'mai pligi. What is the underlying point of machlokes? So we explained the underlying point of machlokes. Where do each one derive the prohibition from? Here the Gemara is asking, what practical difference is there between the two opinions? Iko binahu, the practical difference will manifest itself in with regard to chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. We explained this in our previous shiur. This is a reference to non-sanctified animals, non-sacrificial animals that are slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, this is something that is forbidden to do. However, what level of prohibition is relevant to chulin shenishchatu ba'azora? So Chizkiya sovar lo yeochel limuti hani. The expression lo yeochel is excludes from benefit chometz pesach and shor haniskal. Oisoi, the expression oso lakaliv tashlichin oso, which is a pasuk that you find by Trefa. This, by the way, we learned in our previous shiur, the word oisoi limuti chulin shenishchatu bazora. The Torah tells us by Trefa that you can give Trefa to the dog, in other words, you can benefit from Trefa, but not, and we use that to infer an exclusion of benefiting from Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara. In other words, according to Chizkiah, Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara is prohibited midoraisa from benefiting from it. We should point out, as we did in our previous year, that when the Torah describes Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara, there is no pasuk that says lo ye'ochel. So how do I know it's osur b'hanah? I know that it's osur b'hanah from the inference drawn from oisoi that you find by the trefa. Rabbi Avo Sovar, Rabbi Avo holds oisoi limutehani. When the Torah says by trefa la kelev tashlichun oso, it is to be inferred from that trefa you're allowed to benefit from, not chometz b'pesach nor shor haniskal. Chulin shenishchatu bazara lav doraisaninu. According to Rabbi Avo, the prohibition of benefiting from chulin shenishchatu bazara, it's prohibited, but it's not a Torah level prohibition. Therefore, the pasuk isn't addressing it, namely chulin shenishchatu bazara, through an inference. As we continue in the Gemara, you notice that we have a very long point that follows. This long point marking takes us to the second line from the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. In fact, we are about to embark on a very long sugya. You'll notice on the side, under our No Say heading, we have an indication that this goes to Chof Dalet Amud Beis. So unfortunately, in the context of our Daf Yomi presentation, we won't be able to go through the entire sugya. We're going to be cutting it off in the middle, making it somewhat difficult to get back into it, Amir Tzashem, in our next shiur. But we'll try to deal with that when it comes. In the meantime, we've written on the side, under the No Say heading, Gisha Acheres, skipping the bracket, the parentheses, Limtso Hamokor Lisono Shochomes Vepesach Vashor Niskal. Let's read our note again. Gisha Acheres, Gishoso Shel Hahu Merabonan. This is an approach that will be made by Hahu Merabonan, one of the scholars in the yeshiva, to find a mokor, to find a source for an iser hanoah, for the iser, the prohibition of benefiting from chometz pesach and shor niskal. Again, this is an alternative source. Till now, we've seen Chizkiah use lo ye ochel. We've seen Rabbi Avo learn from oisoi, and hahu merabonon will be an attempt to find another source for that. Let us begin the Gemara, and then some of additional structural notes we'll take into consideration as we go along. Yosef Hahu Mirabona Kamei to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. So Hahu Rabona was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Shmuel, Yosef Ikomar, Mishmei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And he was saying in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Minayin Lechol Isurin Shebetoro, Techihechi Da Asurin Bachilo Hochi Nami Asurin Bano. From where do we know that all the Isurin in the Torah, all the prohibitions of the Torah, that just like they are usur to eat, they are also usur to benefit from them? Umay, new, and what are all these Isurim in the Torah? They're not so inclusive. It's chometz b'pesach v'shor haniskal. So from where do I know that they are usur b'hanah, these two items? And if we skip the bracketed section, we read the word minayin. In other words, we're reinstating this question after the discussion in the brackets concludes. The question that we are asking now remains. From where do we know them? Namely, the Chos Pesach and Shor Niskal are usur to benefit from. And the Gemara will follow with a house marking, which is an answer, an attempted answer. Now that we've done a little structural work, let's try to explain what we're about to see. First of all, we will have a bracketed section, and on the side where there's a star, we indicate the reason for these brackets. Besocha sograyim, ha-gemora she'eles lama hum rabbonan mechapes mokor. We'll be asking regarding the humer rabbonan, why is he looking for a source? Are yesh kvar mekoros? We already have sources. We've got lo ye'ochel, we've got the diuk from the inference from oisoi ha-gemora doichev emeros ha-tam shu lo lomeid mishom. And the Gemara will reject that claim that there are already other sources, and hence, if we reject the presence of the other sources, as far as Humer Rabbanan is concerned, he will need a source, and that's what the Gemara will be picking up with after the brackets. Now, within the bracketed section, you'll notice triangles that appear. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, the triangle highlights the expression tepuklei, hatsos, lemoker, v'nivchu miyad. These are attempts to present a moker for the Isranah, for the Hahu Merabonan, but these will be rejected. If we look at the next marking, there's a house shape, Nisyonos Limtso Moker L'Isranah. These house shapes represent attempts on the part of the Gemara to find a source for the Isr Hanah. And the inverted house, when it appears, as it will on Chof Dalid Omid Aleph, that represents Dechios. This is basically an attempt to keep track of the give and take. Attempted source of Yisrael, and then rejection. Again, and again, and again. This structure will repeat itself. If you have Chof Dalid Omid Aleph in front of you and want to scan down the page, you'll notice that this is a highly repetitive structure. And we'll end up counting till four, number four, in attempts to provide this alternative source. So, as we look back in our Gemara text, we read on, we skipped the bracketed section, and then after the brackets we asked Minayim, from where does Hahur Abonan, what will the answer to his question be? Where does he, from where will he know the Isser Hanoah of Chomes Pesach and Chulin and Shor HaNisgal? And the Gemara will give an answer, Dichtiv, Kol Chatas Sheyuva Midoma V'chulei. And we'll, Mirtz Hashem, explain it when we get to it. Now, let's go over the bracketed section. The Hahum Rabbanan asks, what is the source for the Isser Hanoah of Chomes Pesach Shor HaNisgal? Now, in the brackets, Minayin, you're asking from where do you know? Tepuk le milo yeochel. Why not learn out from the words lo yeochel, which appear by Chomes Pesach and Shor HaNisgal? So the Gemara answers, I can't use that as my source. Lo yeochel, Isra achilo mashmalei, Isra hano lo mashmalei. He, the Sahum Rabbonan, unlike Chizkiyah, for example, he doesn't see any reference in lo yeochel to anything other than an eating prohibition. He doesn't see the reference to a Hano, to a benefit prohibition. Question. Tepukle mina vela. Why not learn from nevela, where the Torah says, by nevela, don't eat it, but you can benefit from it. So elsewhere, where the Torah doesn't say you can benefit from it, by saying you can't eat it, it's also Behano as well. So why doesn't he learn like that from the Vela? Answer, Sovar law, Rabbi Yehuda. The Hahum Rabbanon will hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Dvorim Kiksovim. I need the Vela to tell me the din that you are not allowed to sell it to a ger. You must give it to a ger, and if there's no ger, so then the second choice is sell it to the Nohri, and not the other way around, and not give it to the Nohri, to the idol worshipper. So that posuk, the Nevela posuk, is not available to medayik a strict prohibition, the prohibition of Hanoah to other items. Question, E sovar law kur Yehuda, if Hahum Rabbanan really holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Tepuk le mehechod nafka le Rabbi Yehuda mila kelef tashlichon oso. Why doesn't Hahum Rabbanan learn from the source that Rabbi Yehuda himself learns the Isser Hanah, namely from the Pasuk by Trefa, which says, you shall throw the Trefa meat to the dog. In other words, you can benefit from Trefa, but not from Chametz Pesach nor Shor HaNiskal. The answer is, the reason that Haum Rabbanan does not learn like Rabbi Yehuda is Kosovar Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azora Da'oraisa. And he needs, because he holds that Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azora is an Iser Da'oraisa to benefit from it, and he will learn that from Lakelev Tashlichun Oisai, he will need another mocker for other Isurim in the Torah and Minayin. So where does he know that from? So here we go with the first, and you can see on the side of the Gemara text a little house around the number one. This is the first attempt. Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Kol chatos asher yuva midama el ohel moed l'chaper bakedish lo se'ochel bo'esh tisoreif. This pasuk is in the context of what's called a chatos chitzona. This is a sin offering that is supposed to be slaughtered and blood applied to the mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And as such, one is not allowed to bring the blood of the chatas hachitzona into the heichal. If one does that, and that's what this pasuk says, kol chatas shir yuva midoma el ohomayt, if you bring its blood inside to the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, where the menorah and the Mizbeach HaZov are located, so you've ruined the sacrifice, it cannot be eaten, and it must be burnt in fire. She'ein tamud lomer bo'esh tisarif. In the pasuk we just read, namely Vayikravov pasuk chav gimel, it really didn't have to spell out bo'esh tisarif, because I know that a chatos, a sin offering that's found to be posel, that's rendered posel, is to be burnt from another pasuk, and Rashi gives the background for that. So, what do I need bo'esh tisarif to be stated over here for when it seems to be redundant? So, ma tamud lomer bo'esh tisarif? Imeinu inyan legufo, if I don't need it for itself, for the topic itself, as we said, because that is learned from another pasuk. So, teneu, and let's read that better in the Gemara. Imeinu inyan legufo dichti vine soraf, that is the other pasuk that we were referring to in Parshas Shmini, where the chatos had the chatos blood been brought into the hechal, I would have known from this pasuk, which vinei saraf, that you are to burn the chatos whose blood was brought inside. So why by the pasuk in Perek Vav pasuk Gimel does it spell out bo'esh tisarev? So imeinu inyan legufo. So take the posuk of Bo'esh Tisarev and apply it to all other Yisurim in the Torah. It's really a reference to the Chometz Pesach and Shor HaNiskal, which are examples of things that you're not allowed to benefit from. V'imeino inyan la'achila, and if it's the Bo'esh Tisarev, this posuk of Bo'esh Tisarev is not needed to tell me that you're prohibited from eating it, because that the Isser Achila is spelled out each time in its own context, namely by the Chometz and by the Shor HaNiskal. So what does Bo'esh Tisarev do for us? So Teneu Inyan LeIsser HaNoh, apply it to the source we were looking for, that Chometz Pesach and Shor HaNiskal are Osir VaHanoh. The Gemara asks, now there's a new marking here. This trapezoid form on the side is featured as Havlotas Kushya Shecheres B'meshach HaGemara. This question will repeat itself a number of times as we go down the sugya. That's why we highlighted it, because of the repetitious factor. So he says, the Gemara asks, Ima kan b'sreifa af kol isurin shebetor b'sreifa? If this posuk of Bo'esh Tisaref is being used as a mocker for other Isurim, are you going to tell me, well, just like by the Chatos Shenifsal, it is to be burnt, so too the other Isurim in the Torah must be burnt? Amakro, Bakodesh, and there are a couple words that we read in the Pasuk that are not here, Bakodesh, Bo'esh Tisaref. Bakodesh, Bisrefa, the Ein Kol Isurim Shebatorah Bisrefa, namely, only the Chatos that was nifsal, which is an example of something that's been sanctified and ruined, needs to be burnt, but other Isurim Shebet Torah do not need to be burnt. They remain osur bahano, as we said, the Chomes Pesach and the Shor Niskal, but there is no specific requirement to burn them. As you can see, the Gemara continues with, and here we have the inverted house, which is a challenge to the mocker that we gave, and the Gemara will be asking, it's a long question, the high Bakodesh Ba'esh Tisaref, Lahachi Huda Asa, is Bakodesh Ba'esh Tisaref really a mocker for the Isser Hanah? Do I not need it for something else? I need this Pasuk for another teaching, which we will see in Mirtz Hashem next time, being that we are in the context of a Daf Yomi Shir, in order to adhere to that, this would be a place that will stop, even though it's going to be a little bit difficult to restart the sukkah, being that we're leaving off in the middle. So, Mirtz Hashem, next time we should hope for success in presenting the discussion. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.